Good morning and welcome to the South Florida Weekly Show. I'm Karen Curtis, and today we're talking about eating disorders. And it's not about the weight. Attacking Eating Disorders from the Inside Out is a book written by Dr. Susie Mendelshon. And where are you a doctor, Dr. Susie? And welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me. My practice is in Fort Lauderdale.
And what do you treat?
I'm a specialist in the treatment of eating disorders.
And today we're going to talk about a different one, not anorexia or bulimia, but it's called orthorexia. And what is that?
Well, orthorexia is something that most people have never heard of. It's an obsession for clean eating. People that really have very good intentions, and they try to eat healthy, which obviously is different for different people, and it turns deadly. It can turn deadly. It's really pretty much a positive intention that can turn very harmful.
Are we talking about a vegan or someone that has animal rights, or what are we talking about?
Well, it can start off with people that really just want to get more well, and it can turn into an obsession. So it's not necessarily somebody that is interested in animal rights per se. It's somebody that wants to put more clean foods into their body. So they start to limit foods, such as they might want to go gluten-free or fat-free or sugar-free or more organic or range-free or wheat-free.
No preservatives.
Exactly.
No genetically modified organisms. Mm-hmm. No wheat, dairy, gluten. So what happens when the desire to eat healthy becomes an obsession?
Well, a lot of things can happen. Unfortunately, there can be a lot of medical problems that end up happening because they're not getting enough vitamins, first of all. Anything can happen, from osteoporosis to heart problems to all sorts of blood pressure problems, and they end up having a lot of medical problems, which is opposite and counterproductive to what they're actually trying to do. There's a lot of social problems, a lot of other problems that can happen, psychological problems. So basically, what the problem is, they also become very intolerant of other people's food choices. So they have this feeling of superiority, and they're very difficult people to eat meals with or to plan social events with, because they become so preoccupied. But I do want to clarify one thing. This is not the average person who does have a health problem where a doctor, a lot of people, let's just say, for instance, somebody is gluten-free because they have celiac disease. That's fine. And I want to make sure that the audience understands that if you have a health problem, let's just say, for example, if you have a heart problem already, obviously we all know you probably have to limit your sodium. That's fine. If you're diabetic, obviously you have to limit or be careful with your sugars, and you need insulin. People have a lot of health problems to begin with, so they have to have special diets. The problem is when there's research done, a lot of people take what is said in, fad diets or marketing, and they start to personalize it to themselves rather than looking at the picture of, okay, gluten-free is good for people with celiac disease. They'll say, oh, gluten-free. The problem in our culture is everybody thinks, oh, okay, gluten-free. Oh, well, I lost a few pounds. Everybody relates it to weight loss instead of health.
Right.
And so people are personalizing anything that comes out on the market. I consider it all just a bunch of fad diets that people want to hold on to something. The underlying issue with eating disorders is control. So if people control, if they feel out of control in one area of their life or more, the one thing that most people feel that they can control is their body weight, shape, size, food in, food out.
Right.
And so this becomes a big problem.
So why are holidays more challenging for people with orthorexia?
Well, that's a really good question. Believe it or not, and this is where it differs from other eating disorders, people with orthorexia may not actually realize that holiday time is more challenging for them. I think it's more to the contrary. This is a time, in my opinion, that people truly with orthorexia might feel more empowered because they can actually exert more control over their eating and actually stand in judgment of other people. Because holiday time, obviously, typically, there's more food involved, there's different food involved. People kind of let themselves enjoy a lot more food over the holiday time. And I think people with orthorexia, they can exert more power and control over themselves because they typically limit themselves so much. I think the people around them, their loved ones and their friends, actually become more frustrated with these people. So they see it more as a problem and challenging over the holidays than the person with orthorexia.
Well, how does it start?
Well, like I said, people with orthorexia, they really do start mostly by really wanting to feel better and more well. So I really believe that it's a positive intention.
Mm-hmm.
It's a healthy intention, and I do believe that it starts, a lot of it might just be triggered by a lot of our food culture that enables the disorder. Health food stores, suburban supermarkets, marketing ploys, you know, versus medical necessity and true health care. I think a lot of people just jump on the bandwagon. You know, the dieting industry in our nation is the biggest industry of all.
Oh, yeah.
So people, you know, vulnerable people, I think our industry just preys on vulnerable people. So
what are the signs of someone with orthorexia? I mean, what is their age, their gender?
Well, it's both genders. I've seen people with orthorexic mindsets. I mean, I have in my practice, I don't treat anybody under the age of 14, but forgetting about my practice, I've heard kids as young as 12 I'm not eating that. It's processed. Well, I'm not eating that because I can't even pronounce the ingredients. Oh, I'm not eating that because it's not organic. So it starts very young. I can't tell you how young because I don't see anybody under 14, but I have 14-year-olds in my practice who are on this, I'd like to say, kick. It's not a fad, but when I see them that young, obviously if they're in my practice, they're not in my practice for orthorexia, they're in my practice for eating disorders, but I can tell that they're starting to get the orthorexic mindset.
And can you out anyone famous that's orthorexic?
Well, you know, first of all, I can't go ahead and diagnose somebody that I'm not seeing. But, you know, off the top of my head, I can't, because I don't spend much time watching famous people. I don't watch a lot of TV. If you name a few people, I might be able to.
Well, Angelina Jolie's very thin.
if somebody told me, you know, some of her comments or something, by certain comments, I could absolutely tell you if those are orthorexic type comments. The weight isn't always how to diagnose somebody, but orthorexics do end up obviously losing a lot of weight. But let me clarify something. Orthorexia and anorexia are very different in the way that they, in their motive behind it. People with orthorexia actually have a desire to feed their body very clean foods. Anorexics' desire is really their desire is to be thin, and they'll die to be thin. Orthorexia is all about eating clean foods. The big difference here, even though their weight actually is the result of what's going on in their head, which is still all psychological, anorexia they're not as concerned about the quality of their food. For instance, they'll eat, well, I can't really generalize because...
They might eat a cracker. I mean, just
exactly.
Popcorn.
Absolutely. It's about more caloric and... Right. You've got it.
We're speaking with Dr. Susie Mendelshohn. She's a Fort Lauderdale eating disorder specialist. We're talking about orthorexia. And why is it important for someone to acknowledge they have orthorexia or clean eating disorder?
It's really important because what happens is their health really will deteriorate in time. As with any poor, undernourished health lifestyle, it's a health problem. It's a health risk. And if you don't acknowledge it, you know, aside from the health risk, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, the problem is they're going to lose a lot of friends. They become isolated. These people will end up, you know, they're not going to be able to have a lot of friends. They're not going to be able to go out to a lot of restaurants. Although, one of the problem is, you know, like I said, our culture is enabling it. There's restaurants popping up and supermarkets popping up all over the place that do enable this. There's restaurants now that are gluten-free, but still they're not going to be able to go to the majority of places.
Right. And they're just a regular pain in the ass to people because they're...
Okay, good. I'm glad you said that.
They're trying to dictate what you eat, right?
They're dictating to everybody. I can give you a little story. I just talked to somebody very close to me the other day, and she said, it was actually my mother, and she said, oh, I told her, I said, yeah, I'm going to talk about orthorexia on Tuesday on a show, and she said, I never had heard of that until the other day I was watching, and she mentioned one of the national talk shows. She goes, and I wrote it down. She said, oh, my friend so-and-so, she has it. Can you tell me more about it? And I was telling her one sign after another, and my mother was just gasping, and she said, oh, that's her to a T, oh my God. And she sits there when we're playing Mahjong or whatever she plays, and she's constantly telling all of us what we need to eat better and eat better. And long story short, this woman has now osteoporosis. She's got high blood pressure. She's at the doctor for some heart problems. Now she's taking all sorts of medications, which is quite interesting because for somebody who wants to eat so clean, now she's taking chemicals to offset all of her health problems.
Right.
So none of it makes sense. It's so counterintuitive.
Right. Everyone who eats healthy, are they at risk for orthorexia?
No. And here's the thing, you know, it's a good question because in my opinion here, it's similar to the question, does everyone that drinks alcohol at risk for alcoholism?
Right.
And
it takes
a
mindset. It takes someone that has the problem mentally.
Well, and I, you know, there's not a lot of research on this because it's not a formally diagnosed eating disorder right now, but the fact is, there's, you know, it's a biopsychosocial problem. And here's the thing. Not everybody, you know, a lot of people, for instance, experiment with, especially teenagers, they hear about, oh, purging or something. Oh, I think I'm going to lose weight if I can eat and throw up. Well, first of all, it doesn't help you lose weight, but not everybody is going to get addicted to throwing up. Not everybody that has a glass of wine every night after work is going to end up as an alcoholic. There's a biological predisposition to all illnesses. And I can say the same for, you know, I always use, say, just in our generation, Michael Jordan as an example. If he had never been introduced to a basketball, he never would have been a great basketball star. He had a biological predisposition to being a great, you know, a great basketball player. So it goes both ways with illness and wellness.
Is this a new disease? I mean, has it been around for a long time or just realizing it now?
That's another great question. I don't think it's really a new disease. I think just like eating disorders weren't a new disease, 20, 30 years ago. I think it's always been around. I think that However, I think it's very, very prominent right now because our culture enables it so much. I think it's more in the news now. I think it's just becoming in the news now. I think for the first time it just came out nationally in the news because, you know, our culture, honestly, I just think that it's like one fad diet, one marketing ploy after another.
Right.
And so I think it's very prominent right now.
So we're interviewing Dr. Susie Mendelshon, and she wrote a book about It's Not About the Weight, Attacking Eating Disorders from the Inside Out. And we're talking about orthorexia. And how do you help somebody who you suspect has orthorexia?
Well, it's how do you help them or how do you talk to them about it?
What do you do?
What would
your mom do with that friend?
My mom says nothing because it's better left unsaid, but that's a different generation.
But she's got all those doctors treating her for all these ailments, which the root of the cause is this orthorexia.
If you believe that you have a loved one, a good friend, a relative, somebody in your family that, if you really believe that somebody has this, my recommendation is first of all, there's no eating disorder that can be treated without an eating disorder specialist professional. You can't go to a general dietitian. You can't go to a general psychologist or psychiatrist. You need to go to a specialist in eating disorders, first of all. But to go to your friend or loved one, you need to act, just like if with any other illness, you might want to go to them and say, look, I'm very concerned about you. I've noticed that, you know, whatever signs that they've noticed. And I love you and I'm concerned. I would love, you know, I'll be happy to go with you. Why don't we look for somebody that we can get help? Just know that that's the easy part. The hard part is going to be their response. Remember, these people have a grandiosity about them, especially the people with orthorexia. Anybody with an eating disorder, it's a secret. It's a control issue. Orthorexia is something that they feel so good about doing because it gives them such a sense of control. So they're not going to want that taken away. So their response to you and your concern may not be exactly what you want. It's going to be very challenging to get these people to not just recognize, but to agree to get help.
Because they believe that eating foods that are unclean is a sign of weakness.
Absolutely. So it's going to, you know, their response to you is going to be, it's going to be tough. So it's going to take a good backbone to go to this person, your loved one, and to tell them, hey, I'm concerned, I'm worried. Just, you know, be ready for defensive feedback.
Right.
From them. It's very difficult.
Now, doesn't everybody want to eat healthy, though?
First, I don't know if everybody wants to eat healthy, but yeah, most people probably want to believe that they're eating healthy. It's fine to eat healthy, but you have to be able to, for instance, you have to be able to be invited to a barbecue and not have to pack all of your food or not have to use the excuse that you're 2 hours late knowing that they have finished their meal and say, oh, I already ate, or give an excuse of why you can't go. Because a lot of these people either don't go or they come after the meal's been served.
Okay.
And they confabulate. They lie or, you know, rationalize that they've already eaten because they just can't go somewhere socially where they know that there's going to be food.
And their diets generally are lacking in key nutrients like protein, iron, B vitamins. Just as troubling as the skewed emphasis they put on food and its place in their lives, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're also, I mean, they're lacking in so many nutrients, and they're not recognizing that.
So we're speaking with Dr. Susie Mendelshon, and you can go to www.transformempowersoar.com. That's SOAR, S-O-A-R. And you're a specialist in treatment of eating disorders. Tell me about your practice and your degrees.
Well, I have an undergraduate degree in education, a master's in psychology, another master's in human relations, and a doctorate, a clinical psychology degree, and a forensic psychology doctorate.
Wow. So you make that makes you more than capable to treat these types of disorders. So if someone wants to get in touch with you, they believe they hear this and they think they know someone that's orthorexic, or maybe they are orthorexic themselves and they want to confront it, how do they get in touch with you?
They can contact me via phone at 954-294-7036, or they can email me at drsusie@me.com. That's drsusie@me.com. Like you said, my website is www.transformempowersoar.com. They can text me, leave me a voicemail, or email me. I'm 24 hours. I answer my own calls, do my own scheduling, wow, very personal touch. And, you know, a lot of other signs that these people should probably know is that they spend an excessive portion of their income on so-called pure foods.
Okay.
That's a really important something for them to know.
Most of their income. So it can be very expensive.
It's extremely expensive to live this lifestyle.
So where are they shopping?
Well, the stores, do you want me to name some of the stores?
Sure, sure.
Whole Foods is probably one of the biggest culprits. And any of the other stores that just cater to, you know, clean, pure, organic, no GMO. A lot of the regular supermarkets have sections for, you know, organic, free range, GMO free, wheat free. You know, all of our stores these days have sections for all of that.
Okay.
But if you take a look at the prices in those stores for, I mean, they're probably, I don't know, they're probably triple.
Right.
You know, and I mean, there are some, you know, obviously I don't do the research. I work with dietitians who, you know, I'm not the dietitian, and I don't want to turn anybody off about, you know, there are some claims that, you know, some of these foods might be better for you. But at the same time, to go to an extreme is unhealthy.
Right.
The obsession and compulsion, it's a variant of OCD, and that's an anxiety disorder. So
when
it interferes in any aspect of your life and causes problems, that's when it becomes a diagnosable illness.
And can you prescribe any medication for it?
Yeah, and I work with psychiatrists as well. With eating disorders, it's, like I said, biopsychosocial problems, so you need to work with a full treatment team.
Okay. So there is medication that can help them because it's like an OCD thing.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, Dr. Susie Mendelshon, her practice is in Fort Lauderdale. She does specialize in eating disorders. Today we're talking about orthorexia. It's a desire to eat clean, green food, and you take it to the extreme, and it can be very dangerous to your health. Thank you for joining us on South Florida Weekly.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you so much for having me.